Hey friends, I want to tell you about a podcast that I've been listening to, Hello Menopause, a podcast that explores the physical, emotional, and mental changes that we experience during this transformative stage of life. It's hosted by the fabulous Stacey London and is produced by the national nonprofit Let's Talk Menopause. Recent guests include yours truly, me, on April 24th with an episode called Demystifying Menopause, practical information on midlife hormones and sexual health with Dr. Kelly Casperson, as well as Dr. Mary Claire Haver, Carla Hall, Naomi Watts, Dr. Sharon Malone, and so many other incredible women. These are conversations you don't want to miss. Listen and subscribe to Hello Menopause wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the You Are Not Broken podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kelly Casperson, a board-certified urologist, thought leader, and conversation starter on midlife living, hormones, and sexuality. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the You're Not Broken podcast. Super excited today to have new friend on, Marcella Hill. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us who you are? And then can you remind me, us, we, us, them, how we met? Because all of a sudden, like in my mind, like all of a sudden we were just talking on the phone. So like back us up and get us to like why we're having a podcast together.
Oh my goodness. This is a thrill to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. You are one of those people I've been watching since the beginning and thinking like, ooh, maybe someday we'll chat. And here we are. Well, let's see. In 2022, in July, I decided to share my story about being in perimenopause and hormone therapy and waking up my soul. And that one video on TikTok went to 9 million views in 24 hours. And broke my entire world. I, up to that point, was just like a CEO of a totally other company making mittens out of wool sweaters. I had no business talking about hormones, you know, to myself, but I did not know that the world was so broken. I didn't know that a majority of women after 35 felt insane. I didn't know that they had no libido. I didn't know any of this was happening. And I didn't know that there wasn't a place to go get help that was like readily available. So I woke up to hundreds of thousands of comments and an inbox full of like, help me, I feel like you, where are we going? And over the last year and a half, me and this beautiful Wake Her Up community have built one of the largest global directories specifically right now to hormone therapists that work private practice. So I landed
into this. My friends,
this
is the end of the podcast. Goodbye. Go find yourself some help. I'll see you next week.
it's just
unbelievable. So like quick before, because I don't want to leave anybody hanging. How the hell did you and I end up on the phone? I think I had reached out. This is my story. I had reached out to like support you about a post you had done or something. And then we got to talking and then like I was on a long commute and we just talked in the car for like an hour. What's your side of that story?
So my side of the story is I actually reached out to you a year ago and your person was like, no. She's like months and months out. She doesn't want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, she hates me. We're cool. We are not friends. And I was like, but I really like her. That's fine. I was like, I'm just going to wait. And then I actually got called out by a doctor. We won't name names. She called me out directly saying that I was like causing harm. And that fired me up. I launched into some really long rant for about a 10-minute rant, not edited, on TikTok in the middle of my kitchen. And I thought, I'm about to blow up my whole world. I'm about to like lose all credibility. I'm about to like destroy all relationships with any doctors because I didn't know like who's friends with this particular doctor or if we're like protecting her in some way. And I was like, well, here we go. I don't even care because I'm a voice for the people. And so I threw down and I literally did not sleep that night. I thought maybe I should take this down. But the next day, guess who was in my inbox saying like, well done, you and several doctors that I thought maybe they don't care to know who I am. It was you and some really key individuals that were like, someone had to say it. And I was like, what? So that was how we got connected.
Oh, that's like way better than my story.
It's like, you didn't want to talk to me, and then you did. So that's what it
is. I'm very busy. Can you imagine, right? Like, I have a gatekeeper at this point. It's not because I don't you like everybody in the planet, for sure.
I mean, when you're changing the world, you got to, you know.
When you change the world, you got to, you know, put up a filter. You got to make sure people are the real, real.
I know.
The real, real. Dude, I'm so proud of you. So what, let's back up a second before the first viral TikTok. Tell me what led you up to that. Because at the meeting you at the first viral TikTok, you'd been on hormones, you saw the light, you had done your personal growth journey a lot already, right? So that, not that we're ever fully formed, but like there was a story leading up to the day that you did a TikTok that got 9 million people's attention in 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that could, this story can be our whole podcast, but it really is why I'm here. So I had been the CEO of my parents' company for 10 years, and this company is called Love Woolies. We repurposed wool sweaters into these beautiful mittens, like the Bernie Sanders mittens, right? Everybody knows that. And I love building businesses, and yet it was not feeling very fulfilling to me. It just kind of felt like I needed to be called in a different direction. And then all the COVID happened. COVID got me to a point where I couldn't go to church. I was raised Mormon. Church was a very big part of my life. And I was like, I need spirituality. And so I sat in my basement, started meditating. Never had done that before. Thought that prayer was meditation. It's not. And as I started meditating, I honestly started hearing myself. Like, I wanted to find a version of myself that didn't break. And to back up a little bit more, I had gone through a pretty massive divorce prior to this. I also have teenagers, and teenagers will rip your soul out and inside out. And my teenager had moved out.
I'm going to call you when that happens to me. I'm not ready. Yeah.
Buckle up. But my teenager had moved out to live with her dad, and that broke me. And I found myself sitting in the corner, a pile of a person, feeling completely destroyed, completely failing at life again. You know, this was not the first time. And I was like, okay, we got to find a version of Marcella that doesn't break, that doesn't end up in a corner feeling destroyed if people don't like her. I needed to find something that I existed when money wasn't here, when people weren't here, when my body was failing me, when church couldn't happen. Like, I needed to find that girl. I wanted to know the core of who I was. And in my basement, in a little camping chair, finally getting my brain to be quiet, turning off my thoughts, there she was. And something fundamentally shifts when you realize that you exist beyond thought, beyond money, beyond your house, beyond your people, beyond your body. It changes everything. And that's when I feel like I met what I call her, the girl inside. And I started writing a book called Wake Her Up. It is just a memoir of my stories. Basically, what I did is I went through my life and picked out moments where I felt like there she is. That's when she was trying to talk to me. That's when she was telling me something. Moments that I thought were just a miracle, right place, right time, became so much more than right place, right time. It became like, there she is. That's when she was trying to tell you something. And seeing that in a full scale was pretty amazing to realize, like, oh, I've been here the whole damn time. I just didn't listen. I didn't pay attention enough to get to know her. And as I was writing this book, the whole time I thought, who the hell is going to read this? Like, this is just regular girl stories from every other walk of life. Like, nobody cares. And it's just one of those things, your soul's like, do it anyway, people will come. And you're like, okay, whatever. It made no sense. And I wrote the book, I self-published it. I remember writing the check to publish it, just thinking like, you're stupid. Like, this is insanity. But there I was. And this whole time, my body was failing me, feeling completely separate from my spiritual awakening. My marriage was failing. I had no libido. I had gone to my gynecologist. She was like, look normal. You're good to go. And I thought, I'm literally don't want to wake up in the morning. This can't be good. And a friend luckily said, hey, you sound like me. you had a partial hysterectomy. You're a year out from that. You need hormones. And I thought, my doctor said, I'm fine. She's like, no, go somewhere else. Go to a private practice. They can do hormone therapy. I went, I got testosterone and progesterone. And the next freaking day, Kelly, the next day, I slept all night. I didn't even know that that was a thing. I honestly didn't even know that adults could sleep all night. Apparently you can if you have the right stuff in your body. And I slept all night. And about a week later, I realized it's 7 p.m. and I'm not counting down the hours to bedtime. I'm like, let's play a game. You know, I'm not like hyped up on caffeine, but I just felt like generally not annoyed, you know, just like, what else could we do today, you know? And then it was about 2 months after that, I went for a long walk. My body had hurt so badly that I couldn't even walk anymore. And I'm missing a disc in my spine. I have degenerative disc disease. And so it caused a lot of back pain. I was going to the chiropractor every week. It wasn't working, but what else do you do? And I remember going for a long walk and kind of checking in with my body and realizing nothing hurts. That's like, that's weird. And I remember thinking, I wonder if I could run. I used to run. I've run marathons. I've run half marathons. And I remember starting to run. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm back. Like, I have my life back. Like, I can run. And I'm not going to slowly die from here on out. And I finished my book. I published it. Nobody read it. Nobody cared. Nobody knew who I was. Then on a whim, I told my story of getting my life back. And that's when 9 million people saw it. And about a week later, someone came on and commented, thank you for waking me up. And I thought, I think I might have wrote a book for you. And that's when tens of thousands of women dumped into my Wake Her Up Facebook group, just because that's what I already had. And here we are. I mean, it's just been insane.
Insane. Like, so many thoughts, but one of them is like, you're unique in the fact that you're open about talking about it and you're here as an advocate now to pull the other women along. Like, that's very unique. But the other thing is, like, you know, as much as I know, this story, this was not some rare autoimmune, rare genetic thing that only five people have. Marcella, this is all the people.
All the people. I have messages from husbands from Moscow, Russia, saying, I saw your TikTok. You sound like my wife. Where do I send her? I have the husband messages are the worst. A lot of husbands will say, I think I lost the love of my life to this. We didn't know. She went crazy and she left me, but I didn't know. And I'm just like,
oh my God.
This is destroying lives. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying beautiful families. And women just don't know. You know, we see a woman that like suddenly got a boyfriend and changing her style. And she's like abandoning her kids, which honestly, I was the victim of a woman like that. Like my first marriage ended in a full, crazy, insane Jerry Springer world of an affair. And they were both 5 years older than me. Didn't know, but everyone's like, what happened to her? She went crazy and she destroyed my family and her family. And we wonder like, what happens to these women? And now I know because we feel out of our minds and nobody's helping.
If you're over 40, you might be in perimenopause or menopause. Perimenopause is the time leading up to menopause, where your hormone levels start to decline, and it can last up to 10 years. If you're experiencing symptoms like irregular periods, mood swings, forgetfulness, anxiety, sleep disruption, or hot flashes, it might be time to talk to a doctor. Alloy is a new kind of women's health company, here to help you feel your best and stay healthy through perimenopause and beyond. From hormonal treatments to symbiotics to skincare, they have what you need to age healthily. Alloy doctors are licensed in all 50 states, and all practitioners are menopause trained. Work with a doctor to get a personalized treatment plan. And once you're a member, you'll get everything shipped to your door, including automatic refills. And you'll get unlimited messaging with your doctor, who can answer any questions you have as they come up. Go to myalloy.com to start your virtual appointment today. Use code NOTBROKEN20. It's good for $20 off any purchase, one-time use per customer, and expires on July 31st, 2024. What comes up for me is women aren't getting help. First of all, we've got a doctor education problem. 100%. I just sent this article, it was a Mayo Clinic article, to a prominent New York Times author showing that a 6% of gynecologists feel comfortable treating menopausal women. So 6% of the people who only see women said, they responded and said, we feel comfortable. So 6%. But so we've got a doctor problem. But we also have a myth of natural. You can't see your hormones. You can't smell your hormones. You can measure them, but you have to go in and get access to get them measured and then interpreted. But it's this like out of sight thing. And we don't get taught about menopause. We certainly don't get taught about perimenopause. Women have this like myth of natural, of like just deal with it, or this is how it's supposed to be. The fucking grandmother hypothesis that we evolved to be grandmas. So of course our ovaries didn't want us to reap. Like that's a whole bunch of bullshit. Like let's talk about why women don't get help. And maybe a little bit, like I can pound on about the doctor stuff a long time, but and we'll get to your list. But like from what you see, why aren't women, what's keeping them down?
So this is what's happening. Women are going to the doctor, especially right now. Women know. They're like, oh, there's the symptoms. That girl on TikTok, that's me. Now I know. Yay. I'm in perimenopause. I'm going to go to my doctor. They're going to give me hormones. Great. So we go to our doctor. We're like, hey, here are my symptoms. Can you check my hormones? That starts the whole conversation. So immediately you have doctors that are like, no, we can't test your hormones. Like you fluctuate all the time. You're too young. And I say these comments because these are like tens of thousands of these comments on my feeds, right? Like I'm not just saying like for one or two, this is thousands and thousands across the world, not a US problem. So you get doctors are saying you're too young, that's not a thing. Then you have women that are like, I want hormones. And then you have doctors like, no, do not do hormones that causes cancer because of the whole NIH policy. Then you've got doctors that are like, sure, we'll test your hormones. So then for hormones. They do blood work. Then your blood work comes back and then you have another follow-up appointment. So you're like, here's the answer. This is what's actually happening with me. And the doctor comes back and says, all of your levels look in normal range. If a doctor takes blood out of your body, runs a test to a lab, you set up an appointment to have a doctor tell you where you're at and they tell you you're in normal range, what the hell else? Are women supposed to say, what are we supposed to, like, no, normal range isn't good enough for me? Like,
totally.
And then you have women leaving that office destroyed, depleted, thinking, I must not love my husband. I have no libido and my blood work says I'm normal. So now I guess we're going to go to couples therapy. Now I guess I need depression meds. I guess I need to leave my family. Like I literally, then what, right? That is the most destructive thing that is happening right now because what are women supposed to do with that?
Yeah, totally. Let's go back to the husbands for a second because somebody actually just reached out for me today and they're like, will you do a video specifically educating husbands about perimenopause, menopause? What was your experience like with your partner in, you know, explaining to him what was going on, his acceptance of it, his awareness of how you were getting better? What was your experience like, if you don't mind sharing that?
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. Before I was on hormones, I was like, don't touch me. Like, you're annoying. Like, don't even breathe. Right? Like, I need to go over here. I couldn't stand him. Honestly, I couldn't stand anybody touching me. And it felt like I just didn't love him anymore. And then all of a sudden, my hormones kick in one day. Literally, it felt like one day. Like I went away for a week thinking like, maybe I'm going to file for divorce. And I come home. This is about 4 months into hormone therapy. And I'm in the kitchen and he walks in the door. And no joke, Kelly, it was like being in high school. Like your boyfriend walks past you or the cute boy in the hallway. My whole body just like zings on like fire, like just whoosh, like the whole whoosh of like, the Twitter painting, the like, let's get it on, like, take my pants off now. Like, I don't care if there's laundry or dishes, like, let's go. I mean, it was, I didn't know what to do with that. It was a lot. So yay that I still could feel love and I could feel feelings, and amazing that my body could turn on. But here's the interesting thing about me, maybe uniquely or maybe not so uniquely, but because of my upbringing, and I would say that this isn't just a religious thing. This is like women in general are taught to not be sexual. Don't be too sexy, you know, don't, because if you show too much cleavage, then you're being a slut, you know, but then we're supposed to turn it on in the bedroom and have that be like this beautiful, amazing experience where we like feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, you're trapped.
I was literally taught that me showing my shoulders, showing too much of my leg is me becoming pornography. Sex was for marriage only, that I was saving myself to give to someone, meaning sex was now something that I was giving up. It was never an empowering thing to my soul. So I've spent, you know, here at this point, 3 years of my life finding her, honoring her, letting her live on the outside, like leaning into things that like lit my soul. Now all of a sudden, I want to be sexual. And it was almost like I did not know how to be sexual and empowered.
Because you had a body now that had hormones and that was a sexual human being, and you had a brain that had been trained by years of socialization, indoctrination, repetitive messages to say, like, be desired, but don't desire. Don't even be an object of desire, but then have a successful sexual marriage relationship.
Yeah, like, for a woman to be like, take my pants off, let's go. Like, that's not acceptable in our social society as like an empowering woman that like has her shit together. You know, that sounds like a really desperate woman that's slutty. And I did not know how to, like, for lack of a better word, marry those two. It felt so much shame. And here I am in a committed relationship. And I was trying to figure out how to be okay with self-pleasure. Self-pleasure was not a thing for me. Now I have like a whole box of toys because it's the best thing ever. But I didn't understand like the benefits of orgasm. I didn't understand that orgasm and sexual desire were like a light to my soul. And I had to practice it. I had to practice it until there was no shame. And I had to listen to books. I had to listen to different podcasts, listen to people that were talking about sex and being sexual in a positive, empowering way that I had never been taught. And that changed everything. And obviously, you know, my husband was on board with that, but it gets a little wonky when you find yourself and you're not a broken person anymore. That changes a relationship that was built on being broken. And I will say, and I've started to talk pretty openly about this, you know, that first 6 months on hormone therapy brought me back. It brought me to a point where I could feel feelings again and lean into my relationship and realize like it's not his fault. But quite frankly, I was a different person and it didn't fit in the relationship that we had built, because we built a relationship on two broken people and I wasn't that person anymore. So over the last year, we have spent almost being roommates and trying to figure out what are we doing now. And it's just been beautiful, honestly. Now I tell people I live with my boyfriend because it doesn't feel the same. It's very different. Not everyone gets to have that, you know, but for whatever reason, right now, today, I do. And it's been really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to ask about that. Yeah, two thoughts. Number one, there's a quote, and I can't remember who to credit it to, but it's like, one of our greatest fears is that we are more powerful beyond our wildest dreams.
Yeah. That is probably my biggest fear. And I think that's one of the things that's probably very difficult for women, because when you start seeing yourself and you start seeing how powerful you are and what you have inside yourself, and then to realize we don't live in a world that's made for that level of power, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say presence. Yeah. Like it's all like if I needed to relabel the word power to be acceptable, I would say like it's a knowing, calm presence with energy.
Yes. Have you ever read the book when women were dragons.
I bought it because you told me to buy it. So I bought it.
I'm like a walking billboard for that book, but it is very much about how when women get into midlife and go through menopause, they become these like dragons and society hasn't figured out how to incorporate us in yet. And I feel like this entire movement, all these women, you, it's like, this is what we're doing. We're teaching how to like transition into the dragon, but then also like how to incorporate dragons into the world because they will change everything. It sounds so silly to talk about dragons, but it really like, I'm a Leo and my element is fire. And I literally keep thinking like, I feel like I'm just like breathing fire. Sometimes it's destructive and sometimes it lights the world, you know, but that's really what's happening.
You had talked in your book about questions to ask yourself in order to wake up. And I have to think like you handling the hormone transition, you handling like your relationship changing, like the work you did before on being like, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Helped you with, you know, what was happening with your body and hormones afterwards. I guess what I'm asking is like tips and advice to people of they're like, what the hell does it mean to wake up? What, yeah, just go walk around asking like, who am I? like I understand it, but I want to hear what you, because to me, I'm like, I have a very similar journey. To me, I'm like, what does Kelly want? Right. And like turned out, I wanted to cut my hair off. She was always underneath there. And me cutting my hair off was like finding her. And then you're curious, right? Like what flavor Jelly Belly is her favorite yes. Jelly Belly? Let's figure that one out. Does she want a tattoo on her hand? I'm not sure yet. We're just going to keep kind of thinking about that one. But it's like, it's this curiosity of like, what is this being I get to be for maybe 100 years if I'm freaking lucky?
Oh my gosh, this is probably my favorite conversation because it is like being a teenager where you watch teenagers like change their hair, change their style, change their boyfriend, change what they like, what they don't like. You know, their moods are all over the place. And this, if we can lean into like the magic of what we found in being a teenager, like that thrill, that excitement, like this is where the good stuff is, you know, where we're not feeling crazy because we're changing our style. We're like, I just want to know some other version of myself. And so instead of asking yourself, who am I? I think for me, I was asking like, what if nobody told me what sexy was? What would that be to me? You know, what if nobody ever told me what spirituality was? What if nobody ever told me what right or wrong was? What if nobody told me what a good wife was? What would that look like for me? Like if I can just restructure all of it. So one of the things that I said, like my teenager moved out and I had been taught, this is how you be a good mom. Like it included making breakfast, you know, making lunch, telling her to put her phone away, putting her to bed. Like that was my good mom box. And it was not available anymore. None of what was in the good mom box existed for me. And that is one thing I was forced into asking myself, like, okay, if nobody told me what a good mom looked like, what would that look like with what I have? And that's where this all started. Like, okay, then what would a good wife look like for me under my circumstances if nobody said? And I think those are some of the questions you have to start asking yourself. And it gets fun when you're like, I don't even know what color I like. What color do I like? You know, do I like wearing pants? Do I like wearing short skirts? And here's the thing about leaving Mormonism is I got to ask myself everything. I had never worn a tank top in public. I had asked myself, like, are we okay to wear tank tops? I don't know. I don't know if I'm okay with that. And then I would test it. I would just wear tank tops and be like, feels really uncomfortable. I think everybody thinks I'm a slut. But then like, I'm looking at other people that are wearing tank tops.
And then you're like, nobody's even looking at me.
Yeah, no one cares. So I'm like, okay, well, let's wear this until we're not shaming ourselves, yeah. You know? And so it has opened this whole, I live in a new body on a new planet than what I was on 2 years ago. And I am experiencing the world in a whole, I mean, Kelly, I didn't drink coffee 2 years ago. Like this whole world feels all new to me, and to be slung into this world of like women waking up, not even out of Mormonism, you know, just in the world in general, is it feels amazing to have this view. It's really beautiful.
Vaginal dryness is the most common symptom of the genital urinary syndrome of menopause, or GSM for short, which is the thinning, drying, and inflammation of the vaginal walls and vulvar tissue because of lack of estrogen. I'm a strong believer of vaginal estrogen as first-line treatment for GSM. Sometimes I do have patients prefer not to use vaginal estrogen or need more moisture in between doses. For these patients, I recommend VIA Vaginal Moisturizer from Solve Wellness. This non-hormonal hyaluronic acid-based vaginal moisturizer helps supplement the body's naturally occurring supply of moisture. pH balanced for the vagina, it is designed to soothe and condition dry and irritated skin. VIA can be used in conjunction with vaginal estrogen on off days for extra support. To learn more about VIA from Solve Wellness, visit viaforher.com. That's VIA, the number 4, her.com. viaforher.com. All new customers get 30% off their first purchase, automatically applied at checkout. Check it out. Introducing FirmTech, the ultimate smart erection ring for men's sexual health and well-being. Just like women use vibrators to enhance their intimacy, FirmTech allows men to experience pleasure, perform better, and enhance their orgasm in a sleek, comfortable design. Using FirmTech's award-winning tech ring, men get objective, personal information about their erections, both during sex and while they're sleeping. This is actionable data that goes straight to the app for confidential analysis and feedback in the comfort of your home. Get your erection fitness score today, because every man deserves to know. Their easy on-off hook, comfortable stretchy elastomer, and penoscrotal design elevate this ring above the others on the market. Go to myfirmtech.com and enter code NOTBROKEN for 15% off today.
I mean, I think so many, you know, we think of labels as constricting, but we also like realize like the labels keep us safe, right? Like how safe is it to know what color I already like and what religion I already am and what person I already like and what job I already have, right? Like how safe is that for so many people? But there's a flip side to that safety is a dullness, a lack of curiosity, a boredom. And I would say like our soul doesn't breathe well when we don't have kind of this purpose, this future forward vision, like whatever it is for anybody, of like sometimes being safe isn't enough out of life. We got one chance at this life. Is our whole goal just to be safe? And in some circumstances, the answer is yes. All we can be is try to be safe, right? And I don't want to downplay that importance for places in people's lives. But yeah, it's really like, why do we have all these labels? Because we like them. But then you realize they are all made up. One of my coaches did the color thing. She's like, what's your favorite color? You're like, red, green, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, how many colors exist? And people are like, I don't know, maybe like 500 or something like that. And you can actually like Google it, how many colors there actually are. And it's a word that's above a billion. It's like a whatever. I'm going to make up a word. But it's a number that's above a billion in the different potential colors that exist. And they're like, of now with that number, why red for your whole life, right? And you're like, oh, but even sometimes just thinking like, do you realize how big this container is? This container is huge.
Huge. And there's no rules. I think that's one thing that has been the most freeing thing for me, especially over the last year with my marriage. You know, where we just thought, okay, if there are no rules, if it's not like good marriage or divorce, then like what's in between? Let's mess with it. Let's get our own bedroom. Okay, let's get our own bedroom. Let's play roommates for a minute. Who said we could even say we're separated without any documentation? Like nobody, who's going to police it? Who's coming over and being like, you can't do that? Like nobody. You know, I have people ask me all the time, like, well, what do I do with this? And I'm like, whatever the hell you want. Like people will say like, how do I do a TikTok? Whatever you want. Like no one's like, you can't do that.
I know. Somebody a while ago, somebody's like, how do you start a podcast? I'm like, you start a podcast. Like you just go into like my, and the, my, you know, my point, not to be flip, but it's like my journey, I literally know that this is not anybody else's journey. So who am I to tell you how to do something? Right.
Well, and we get into a lot of trouble when people decide like their one way is the right way. And that's where like my perspective is so unique in that I was raised Mormon and my entire life, I believed I had the one right religion and I was going to save you if I could get you recruited into my religion because it was the one whole answer. And then I come out of it and I realize, wait, all of these people's experiences are 100% real. They're 100% theirs. And I was invalidating everybody if they weren't doing it my way. And, you know, we say that we don't judge people, but how can you not judge people if they're, if you believe you have the one right thing and they're not doing the one right thing? Like that just comes with the territory. And I think that I did, like to your analogy, I felt like I had been this tiger in a zoo. Safe, super safe. Like it was, I was fed every day. I knew when dinner was coming. I didn't have to go like prowl around and kill prey. You know, like I was very safe. I had a place to sleep. I had friends. I could wake up every day and know who and what was happening. And then all of a sudden I stepped out and there I was in this crazy jungle and it felt so terrifying. I didn't know how to hunt. I didn't know what we were doing. I'm just like, yay, running around like a crazy person. Like, look how much space we have. You know, I'm like having a drink for the first time. I'm having coffee for the first time. I'm getting a tattoo. And people think like, oh, she's just lost her mind. You know, there she is sinning all over the world. But it wasn't that. It was like, look how big this is. Look how many crayons we have. Look how many people there are. Look how many belief systems there are. Look how many, like, we can do anything. It's like waking up in Disneyland, you know, where like we can go on all the rides and not waiting till the end to where you're going to like get something better. And I think that has, that is played into what I'm doing right now with all of this advocacy, because I want to say, like, you exist now. You are living now. You, your heaven, who you are, is right now. I have been taught my entire life to just stay safe, to get to heaven. And then heaven's going to be the joy. Heaven's going to be the like amazing thing. Like, why not now? Why can't we have that level of joy now? Why can't we be heaven rather than waiting for it to happen to us? And I think that's where I'm like, no, we're not waiting one more damn minute. Like women are heaven. Women are the like creation. They are the love. They are the compassion. They are the vibrance, the creativity. They are what the world needs. We don't need to wait. And as women start waking up, we will watch it happen. It's happening now. And it is a privilege to watch it.
I love it. When you had said in your book, you were talking about your journey and realizing you were falling apart every time someone didn't want me. And I think that I would love to talk about that because I think people pleasing, first of all, I think it's normal to feel bad if somebody says something bad, right? It's normal. But then it becomes unhealthy after a certain point. Can you talk to me about your journey through that?
You know, I think a lot of women are taught to grow up, find your Prince Charming, and you'll become a wife. And there you will be. And then you'll become a homeowner. And then you'll become an employee. And then you'll become a mother. And you'll gather up all these titles. And at one day, you will have pulled together all the titles that add up to you. There you will be. You went to school and you're an MD. You're like, you're just collecting these pieces of you to one day, there you are. And when I found out that my first husband of 9 years was having an affair, it didn't just break my life. It broke who I was. I was a wife. I was a mother. I ran a household. I was a stay-at-home mom with no job. And it destroyed me to my core. I was nothing. I was laying in a dark room one day just thinking like, I think I'm just going to blip into a nothingness because I had no idea that I could exist beyond these titles. So It happened again when I got fired from a job. I had wrapped my worth up into this job, and all of a sudden they were like, see you later. And I was like, oh no, I don't exist anymore. And then it wrapped myself up into being a mother. So then when my kids don't like me or literally leave the house, I was like, oh no, where is she? And that is dangerous. It's a dangerous, dangerous place for women to believe that who they are and their value and their worth are their titles or other people. Because if you think you are half of a whole in a marriage, when that marriage fails, you are a half. And that is not true. You are whole as you are, without the titles, without the money, without the people, without your kids. I did a video that I said, your kids are not your everything. I mean, how many times do we hear women say, like, my kids are my everything, which is a beautiful statement. And kids are amazing. And I love my kids. But if we are teaching children that they are our everything, and then we are becoming nothing, and we are our children, then our kids grow up and they become nothing, and they teach their kids that the kids are everything. And in the end, we're going to live, which we do now, we live in a world where women don't exist because we have continually taught from our grandma to our mom that we go invisible for you to be everything. And in the end, we've forgotten how to be full existence.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I was just going to ask you, what advice do you have? Now you're going through your journey, and I will never say your journey has stopped, right? Like both you and I know this is, and I always tell people, I'm like, I am literally on a wave. I am on a wave that the universe is, and I figured out I'm on the ride, and now it's a ride, right? And it's like, once I realize that, you're just like, buckle up, man. Like, there's no done, right? And I am in the, you know, the people who went through all the education. And our big fallacy was like, just get into college, a good college, so you can get into med school, a good med school, so you can get into residency, the best residency, so you can be done with residency, you can be an attending. And doctors hit that, and then they're like, who am I? I have no hobbies, and this is not satisfying at all. What the hell went wrong? Because we were just waiting to get to the end, the there, right? And it's like, there's no there. It just keeps going. You can keep being. So in your journey, point being, in your journey, what advice would you have for your kids, or what your hopes for your kids, or the future generation, male and any gender?
So I think one of the biggest things that stands out when I'm speaking to women, I have a saying that says, joy is your air. And without air, are you really living? And joy is something I think we've always put on like the extra list. You know, like if you were a violinist or you're a singer and now you're a mom, like you're going to do it sometime, maybe later when your kids are grown up and there's time for that. It's extra. It's extra money. It's extra time. It's not a necessity. And I say the thing that lights your soul is literally the thing that makes you feel like you exist. And you've got all these women out here feeling like, I'm dead inside. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to exist. Well, guess what? If you had a 12-year-old that had no friends, didn't know who they are, they have no hobbies, guess what you would do? You would put them in every damn class you could possibly sign them up for, because you knew, you know, we do this for our kids. We know we've got to help them find their thing, the thing that lights them up, the things that connects them to other people, like ice skating. Maybe ice skating is the thing. Maybe t-ball, you know, maybe pottery, like whatever it is. We're like, we got to find their thing so that they like don't die, you know? I mean, literally, right? Like they know that like they matter. But then here we are, we're 40 and we're like, we don't know why we don't exist. And we like haven't done a damn thing yeah. in like 20 years that like makes our soul light on fire. We're like, well, you know, I'll go paddle boarding later, or, you know, that's a little too dangerous, or, you know, I can't sing because I haven't sung for 10 years and like, I'm not going to do anything with it anyway.
I might be bad at it.
Yeah. Like, of course you're not going to turn it into a business.
You've never done it before.
But then we're like, why don't I exist? Why don't I have community? Well, just because you're not doing the thing that actually gives your soul air.
Dude, I mean, I have to, like, this is super personal. I have never said this on the podcast, let alone in public. Before I started my journey with this, I remember driving in my car to work and being like, I don't have any close friends. I don't have any friends. And this is probably just what happens to female surgeons, right? Like, see, female surgeons are difficult to be friends with. Like, kind of just justifying that to me. And looking back on her now and realizing, like, do you realize how many people want to be your friends? Not just because you have a top podcast. Like, some people just want to be close to the light, right? Not that I'm huge. But, like, some people are like, no, she's got an energy. She's got an energy that people want to be around. It's like, you know how many people want to be your friend now? And it's like, if I could go talk to her in the car and be like, find what lights you up, the friends will come. They're there. You just aren't showing the world yourself. But I hear that a lot from middle life. It's so hard to make friends in middle life. And it's like, yes, it is. If you stay doing what you're doing, which is not you being the youest of yous.
Yeah, like you getting together with, exactly. Joy, the thing that lights your soul, it literally lights you and it attracts things to you. So a perfect example is when I was kind of coming to these understandings, but then I would like, I have to live by them. I have to test them. You know, I'd come to this understanding like, well, what are you doing that brings joy? I'd be like, oh, nothing. So I signed up for a hip hop dance club. I used to be a dancer. I love dancing. Dance is like something that has saved me in many different areas of my life, but I haven't danced for 10 years. So I signed up for a hip hop class. It was super inconvenient. I wasn't going to do anything with it. It cost money that we didn't have. You know what I mean? It was like, it really inconvenienced the whole family for me to be gone on a Wednesday night. But I was like, this is what you got to do. So I would go to this hip hop class and it was like freaking air that I hadn't breathed for like 10 years. It was like coming up for air. Like I had been drowning, not knowing it. And it didn't matter. I was like in this little studio with like three other girls who were flopping around looking like crap. You know, we didn't care. But here's what happened. I would come home on Wednesday night and instead of it being this mundane, boring, yelling at everybody to go to bed, my little girl would say, Mom, show us your dance. And I would turn the music on and Mom would display her awesome dance. And we would end up in this, like, the whole house became energized. You know, there was light. It was like a different night. And then one day, I had posted it on Facebook because that's how I roll, you know, just for everyone to see. And my teenager, who hadn't talked to me in several months, she happened to need a ride somewhere. We happened to be talking about it. She watched it and she watched it again. And she watched it again. And she watched it again. And she looked at me and she said, well, Mom, you're a pretty good dancer. And I would say for the very first time, my child saw me as a person. And that's just the thing. It makes you exist. We are so busy trying to worry about like setting the rules for our kids and getting them dinner and running them around. But what they actually need is who we are. And we think that if we can't pick them up from a thing because we're at a damn dance class, that it's selfish. But then one day they'll see you and they'll realize, wait, I get to exist too when I have kids. That's when it changes. That's when we build a world where women exist.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to wrap up by sharing something that I had posted on Instagram about what a doctor had told a patient about hormones. And then I want you to respond in the brilliant way you do. And then we'll segue into the directory that you made and why. So I did a reel recently on what a doctor said to a woman about taking. So a woman goes to a doctor and I don't know the gender of this doctor. If I use a pronoun, I'm making it up. But a woman goes to a doctor and asks about taking testosterone. And the doctor said, well, are you okay with this if you're going to be dead from this, from the testosterone within 5 years? And I basically, my reel was like, this is the turducken taco poop sandwich of the patient-physician interaction, because it's lies compared, in addition to a bad relationship, in addition to fear-mongering and probably some patriarchy. So I'm like, I called it, I think about the reel was like, this is the turducken of medical care, because it's just a whole bunch of crap put together, calling it healthcare. So that's what we're up against. And I'm trying to change it. You're trying to change it. I truly believe this is coming from the people. This is coming from the women. We can't rely on the healthcare system to change. They're too busy. The healthcare system is too busy drowning. God bless everybody in healthcare. But they're too busy drowning in the stresses of that to be the change for that the women need. I think the change is truly going to come from the women going out, getting a second opinion, educating their providers. And I'm sorry it's extra work. And I see that it's extra work and it effing sucks. But I don't see this drowning, broken healthcare system rising up as fast as the women are going to rise up. So tell me about kind of your experience with that and then where people can find the directory you made.
Yes. Okay. So the insanity of what doctors tell women is bananas. So I have several videos. Like, one is at 14 million views. I have another one that's at about 12 million. I mean, several. But women will come on and say, hey, I asked about low libido and my doctor said, go watch Bridgerton. That's a real comment from a real gynecologist. And what's even harder is we want to blame men. Like, I would love to be like, all gynecologist men say stupid things. No, no, no. Like, this are female gynecologists that have suffered and had sex anyway, because that's their job in their marriage. And they are just going ahead and deciding that they can just tell other women, suck it up. Take one for the team is literally a comment I've heard more than once. Like, how is that like an actual statement from a gynecologist in an office, like with a medical degree? Like, how is that acceptable at all? Some of the top ones that we hear are, you must not love your husband, so go to a therapist or get a boyfriend. Other ones are, drink wine, get a vibrator, do it more, do it anyway. This is getting old. You just don't want to, so you just do it anyway. That's disgusting. Like, that's what women are hearing when they're asking about libido or sex drive. And most doctors are not passing out testosterone. And honestly, they do not think that women having a low libido is a problem. Like, so what? Like, it's just not.
But fix all the erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, let's hurry and pass out some Viagra for all the men to want to have sex with women that don't want to have sex. Like, you and I know this. If we just fixed women's, if the only focus was on upping women's sexual drive, we wouldn't need to give men Viagra anymore. Like, the women would take care of that. We would make sure we were getting things done. Like, it's just ridiculous, this system that we're in. And so to get to like the directory and how we got here, what ended up happening is women were asking like, where do we go? And I started calling all of these private healthcare, like med centers and providers, saying, how do women find you? And they would say, word of mouth. And I was like, no, I need a link to like, that I can send the whole world, where we can find all the good doctors that are actually listening to women, that actually know that our libido matters, that are actually helping, that we can trust. And I would find a directory that was like, kind of, you know, it would be like half the providers, or it'd be only NAM certified, or it'd be only pellets, or only whatever, or it would include men's urology clinics. And I'm like, I'm not sending my mom to this list. Like, she doesn't have time to filter through this. And so that's where we ended up building the directory, because it doesn't exist. And the directory is literally built by the women. Everyone asks me, like, do you have a vetting process? My vetting process is Did you actually go to them? Did you actually like them? Did they actually help you? Great. And then because we have a community, the community is the checks and balances, because if we end up not liking that doctor, women are talking and we'll just pull you off. So the directory is built by the women for the women. And then it's all different methods. It will build out further from just hormone therapists. It will get into pelvic floor therapists and anything that is for women's bodies, because quite frankly, like everything that women need beyond the 35-year mark, like doesn't exist in the traditional, I don't want to say doesn't exist. It's very, very hard to find in the traditional medical system we have right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. Where can people find your directory? I'll post links, but can you just say where you want people to find you?
It's wakeherup.co. And if you go to wakeherup.co, it will give you a link to everything, to our community as Wake Her Up on Facebook. It will give you links to all of the directories. We even list amazing podcasts like Miss Kelly Katzmerson in our free resources. So it really is a beautiful space.
If there was anybody who may at some point get me on back on TikTok as an advocacy standpoint, it'd be you.
You have to get on TikTok, Kelly. We miss you over there. You're already doing it. Just like push everything you've got.
I quit in 2023 in a fit of disgust, and I've yet to be back. I'll have to see. I have to see who I am. If I might, maybe I'm into TikTok in 2024. I'll start listening to her. I'll see what she's whispering. In 2023, she needed a break.
Man, there's so many times I'll be on TikTok and I'm like, I could have sent this to Kelly. And I'm like, she's not here. Get over here.
Get over here. I love it. Thank you so much for spending an hour with me. This podcast has been exceptional. I'll post the links down below and thank you for joining me.
You're amazing. Thank you so much for everything you do. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of You Are Not Broken. If you want to dig deeper with me, sign up for my Adult Sex Education Masterclass, where you learn adult things like communication skills, anatomy lessons, and desire types, and how to talk to your doctor about sexual health concerns. If you want the Adult Sex Education Masterclass for free, join my monthly membership for more in-depth, exclusive content, more time with yours truly, a private podcast, coaching, and educational empowerment. And you can watch my interviews live and get them immediately without advertising. Head over to www.kellycaspersonmd.com for the membership and Adult Sex Ed Masterclass. Members get the masterclass for free. This podcast is presented solely for educational, entertainment, and informational purposes only. I am a doctor, but not your doctor in this format. And all of my platforms and guests, including on this podcast, are not giving individual medical advice or practicing medicine. See and consult with your own care team for your individual needs and concerns. This podcast is not intended as a substitute for the care and advice of a physician, therapist, or other qualified professional. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine, in case you were curious about that, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. But I still love you. Using the information on this podcast or any of my platforms is at your own risk. Until next time, remember, you are not broken.